find ourselves now between two great feasts, which are fundamental to who we are, not only as Christians, but as human beings. We have the opportunity to reflect on these two wonderful feasts, the Feast of the Lord's Nativity and the Feast of Theophany. Both feasts form the foundation of the new creation. Indeed, this theme is woven into the hymnody of both feasts. We just sang that the Theophany of the Lord, Christ's coming to Jordan, has as its purpose the renewing of all of creation. And in the Feast of Nativity, we have this wonderful thread woven into not only the hymnody of that feast, but into all of the Christology of our church. God becomes a human being so that the human being might become God. The question I want to ask us today is, what does it mean? What comes to mind when we hear God became a human being so that the human being might become God? What comes to mind? Without a doubt, this is very, whether we know it or not, it is very high-powered theology. What we hear, what we can, is theology par excellence, and therefore theology is not for the academies, is not for the universities or the seminaries. Theology is for the believer, the one who has the desire to be the disciple of the Lord. So having said that, having shown that theology is not for the egghead, but for the believer, what does it mean when we hear God becomes a human being so that the human being might become God? Anything?
God become a
human being? I have to look through.
Give it a shot.
Maybe you should stand up so I can't hear you.
That God took on what needed to be saved?
God takes on what needs to be saved.
And why do we need to be saved? What are the signs that we need to be saved?
Sin and death.
Now I want to share with you the insights of one of the great theologians of our church, St. Nicholas the Basilis. The Basilis lived in the 4th century. He was born in Thessalonica. He was a supporter of St. Gregory Palamas. He is sometimes mistaken identity with his uncle, Nilos. Nilos the Basilis was Archbishop of Thessalonica. Nicholas the Basilis, in his treatise, The Life in Christ, that focuses on baptism, chrismation, and the Eucharist. In this treatise, he speaks about God becoming a human being and overcoming all the separations between divinity and humanity. And there are three separations. We have mentioned two already. The first separation is the separation of nature. God's nature is uncreated, eternal. God's nature undergoes no change. God's nature is divine. Our nature is what? Created, mortal, and is not divine by itself, but is called to participate in the divine life. When sin and death enter the existence, here are the other two elements of separation. Sin and death. We have nature, sin and death, which keep us away from God. when sin enters into existence, death follows, and our nature ceases to have communion with God. In the beginning, God creates us so that we can have union and communion with Him, even though our natures are different. But when sin and death enter into existence, our nature is no longer seeking and ascending into that divine life. Our nature has another goal, the cemetery, death. So these three elements of separation, nature, sin, and death, are overcome by God becoming a human being. God, who is eternal, who is immortal, who is outside of time, enters time, takes on our humanity, and therefore overcomes that division of nature. No longer is there a separation between humanity and divinity. Why? Because divinity Himself has taken on our humanity. That separation is overcome. The second separation, sin, is overcome according to the Basilus through the cross. The God who becomes a human being takes upon Himself our sin. And by ascending the cross, He becomes a curse for all of us, so that the curse of sin might be overcome. So through the cross, that which separates us from God, sin which separates us from God, is overcome. And then there's death, the very death of the God-man annihilates death. So that all these elements of separation, nature, sin, and death, no longer exist in and through the love that God has for us. We must never forget that these events which we celebrate, these events which we are called to enter, these mysteries which are poured out upon us, all are related to the divine love God has for us, the limitless love God has for us. And because of that love, there is nothing that separates us from Him. In fact, we who are baptized into the very death and resurrection of Christ have a relationship, or at least we are called to have a relationship with God, which is closer and more intimate than that relationship which Adam and Eve had in paradise. Why? Because God became a human being. He didn't become an angel. He didn't become a spirit. He became a human being. And therefore, our relationship with Him is infinitely more intimate than that which Adam and Eve had in the beginning. So brothers and sisters, while we are between the Feast of Nativity and the Feast of Theophany, we have to reflect on what we are celebrating and what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a human being. God creates us so that we can have communion with Him. God creates us so that we can, the human being can be, King, priest, and prophet over creation. King, by being the head of creation, leading all of creation to that divine life. Priest, because we are called, each of us, because of our royal priesthood, we are all called to offer ourselves and anything else that is associated with our life to God, our work, our families, our holdings, our money, anything that we have is to be offered to God. And we are prophets because every word that comes from our mouths should be a word that not only reveals God, proclaims God, but glorifies Him and offers Him thanks. We enter this period between the two feasts, and we are called to remember, to be bound to the reality of this feast, that indeed God has become a human being so that nothing will separate us from His love and life. Amen.